I invite you to turn with me again to the first epistle of John, chapter 1. First John, chapter 1, and we will read the entire chapter. Hear the word of God, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. So far, God's holy word, the text for the sermon this afternoon is verses 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So far, God's holy word. Congregation, at this point, we will now make confession of our faith with the church of all ages and places in the words of the Apostles' Creed, and let us say these words in our hearts before the Lord. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In response to the preaching of God's word, we will sing together Psalter number 7, all the stanzas, Psalter 7. Beloved in the Lord, this morning we saw that through faith in Jesus Christ, believers can and do have fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We also consider some of the privileges of this relationship. When we have fellowship with God, we have God as our provider, we have God the Son as our Redeemer, and we have God the Holy Spirit as our sanctifier. And when we have Him, and that in turn produces within us fullness of joy. Now this afternoon we want to take this one step further. And we want to ask ourselves the question, who is it who enjoys this fellowship? Who has this fellowship with God? Does everyone who professes to be a believer enjoy this fellowship with God? And then the answer to that question is no. We may have made confession of faith. We may be active, contributing members of the Church of Christ. We may even regularly attend the Lord's Supper and even be an office bearer in the church, and everyone may speak well of us. We may be very conservative and orthodox and religious, but that does not mean we have fellowship with God. In order to have fellowship with God, we must walk with Him. In the words of our text, we must walk in the light. Our text this afternoon is 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7. And there John writes, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." Here the Apostle John declares to us that if in order to have fellowship with God, we must walk in the light. And it's to that subject that we turn our attention this afternoon. The theme for the sermon is walking in the light, the condition of fellowship with God. And we'll consider again 3 points. First, the underlying premise attached to this condition. Secondly, the searching implication contained in this condition. And thirdly, the wonderful blessings flowing from this condition. So its underlying premise, its searching implication, and its wonderful blessings. John begins in our text by emphasizing that the message that he is about to proclaim to them in this epistle does not come from himself, but it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you." John here is referring, of course, to Christ. He has heard a message from Christ, and he is about to proclaim that message to his readers. In doing so, John here manifests himself to be a true preacher of the gospel. A true preacher of the gospel, beloved, does not come with his own ideas and his own opinions. He preaches only what he hears from Christ, what Christ has recorded in his word. And this is what John is about to do. He's about to proclaim a message that he heard from Christ himself. And what exactly is this message? What is the message that John is about to proclaim? It is very simple. It consists of only 3 words. God is light. That's the message. God is light. John here refers to God as light. Elsewhere in this epistle, he refers to him as spirit. He refers to him elsewhere as love, but here he describes him as light. God is light. Pay close attention to what John is saying here. He doesn't just say God brings light. He doesn't say God gives light, or even that God is like a light. He says God is light. Now, this is not the only time that the Apostle John refers to God as light. He does so also in the prologue to his gospel. In John 1 verse 5, speaking of Christ, John writes there that the light, and he's speaking of Christ then, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Christ is the light. Also in John 1 verses 7 through 9, speaking of John the Baptist, he writes, "The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light." Who is the light? It is Christ, of course. "That all men through him might believe." He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. Where did John get this idea from? Well, it came from Jesus himself. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." This is the message that John heard from the lips of our Savior himself. This is the message that he subsequently proclaims to the readers of his gospel. God is light. And that means he is entirely light. There is in God no darkness at all, he says. So it's not the case that God is mostly light and there's a little bit of darkness here in that corner and in that corner. No. He is pure, unadulterated light. He is light entirely and completely. There is no darkness in him at all. Now, what does that mean? Well, obviously, we should not interpret John literally here. God is not actually physical light. God is a spirit. Now, there are indications in the scriptures that speak of God emanating light. For example, when Moses came down from the mountain after meeting with God on the top of the mountain, we read there that his face shone so brightly with the glory of God that the people of Israel begged Moses to put a veil over his face so that they could look at him. Also, we read in the book of Revelation that in the New Jerusalem there will be no need for the sun or for candles, for God himself will provide the city with all the light that it needs. God is light. It's not actual physical light, and yet he is light. Now, what does he mean by this? Well, the word light here can have two different meanings. It can have an intellectual meaning. In that case, the word light refers to uncovering the meaning of something. We have an English expression, to shed light on something. That means to reveal something about that thing that we would not know otherwise, in such a way that we can understand it. That's an intellectual meaning of the word light. But then there's also a moral and ethical meaning. In that case, the word light refers to purity and holiness. Now, obviously, that is the meaning that John has in mind here in our text. When John says that God is light, he means he is absolutely pure. He is absolutely holy. He is absolutely without sin. There's not a speck of sin or evil in him. And this now is the message that John is going to proclaim. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. That's quite a different message than that which is propounded by many evangelical ministers today. The message that is often heard today is God is love. And that is, of course, a scripture. But then they take that to the point where they add this: God is love and has a wonderful plan for your life. That's the message that we hear from many a pulpit today. But it is not the message of the scriptures. God is not some cosmic Santa Claus who delights in doing nice things for people. God is light. God is holy. God is without sin. There is no darkness in him at all. That's the message. How do we respond to that message this afternoon? Is that a message we like to hear? We might like to hear that God is love. We might like to hear that God is mercy, that God is grace. We might like to hear all kinds of things about God, but what about God is light? How do we respond to that message? Well, how we respond to that message is very much dependent on our spiritual condition. You see, if we're not a believer this afternoon, if we're not in Christ, that message, God is light, should make you feel very, very uncomfortable. Why do I say that? Well, because if God is light, that means there is nothing hidden from him. Every nook and cranny of our being is exposed to his holy gaze. He knows everything about us. He knows what we think. He knows what we say. He knows where we go and what we do when we get there. Nothing is hidden from Him. God is like a super million candle spotlight shining down on a little ant. That's who we are in relation to God. And if we're not covered in the righteousness of Christ this afternoon, this message that God is light should make us feel very, very uncomfortable. Because you see, one day you will have to appear before this God, this holy God. And unless we are in Christ, we will be cast into outer darkness, the Bible says. And there we will remain for an everlasting eternity. So listen carefully to the message. Listen carefully to what John says about God. He is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. Now that's the underlying premise of this condition. God is light. Now the fact that God is light has tremendous implications for our relationship to Him. And that's our second point. Having stated that God is light, John goes on to draw several implications from this truth. And we find that in verses 6 and 7. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. John here in our text divides up all professing believers into two groups of people. And both of these groups of people are well represented in the visible Church of Christ. First, there are those who say they have fellowship with God and yet who walk in darkness. Notice that three times in this chapter, John uses the expression, if we say, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, so it is here. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. The church is full of people who say things, but it's not true. Now, who are these people? Who are these people that say they have fellowship with God and yet walk in darkness? Well, they are people who claim to be true believers. They claim to be united to God by faith in Jesus Christ, and therefore they also claim to have fellowship with Him. There are people who can speak about the Lord. They can testify about what the Lord is for them and what He has done for them. And from the outside, from our perspective, they appear to be very godly people, very serious people, very religious people. But there's only one problem with these people. It is this: they walk in darkness. The Greek word for walk here means to go about in. So it's not the case that these people walk in darkness some of the time. No, they live in darkness. They walk in darkness all the time. Darkness for them is like water to a fish. It is their natural environment. They walk in darkness. And we may never see them walk in darkness, but they walk in darkness nonetheless. And yet they claim to be true believers. Now, sad to say, there were many such people in the church in John's day. At the time that John wrote this epistle, there were certain people in the church called Gnostics, after the Greek word gnosos, meaning knowledge. The Gnostics were professing Christians who believed that anything spiritual was good, and anything physical or material, including the human body, was bad. That is a very simple definition of Gnosticism. And there are many different types of versions of Gnosticism. But central to all versions of Gnosticism is the belief that salvation consists of being delivered from the body. And how does one become delivered from the body? Well, you need special knowledge for that. And the Gnostics claimed that they had this knowledge. They had some special knowledge given to them by God that released them from the body. Now, needless to say, this heresy drastically affected the way people in John's day lived. Some people held that because the body was bad, it had to be subdued. And subsequently, they deprived themselves of all earthly comfort. They even subjected their bodies to physical pain. Others went the exact opposite way. They went in the direction of hedonism, the unbridled pursuit of pleasure. They believed that for the believer, there was no such thing as sin. And whatever sins they committed, they were not really sinful because they were committed in their body. So they could not, consequently, they could sin as much as they liked and still claim to be believers. Now, these are the people that John is addressing here in our text. They said they had fellowship with God, and yet they walked in darkness. Does that describe anybody here this afternoon? Oh, yes, there are still people like that in the church today. People who want to have it both ways. They want to have Christ, but they want to have their sins too. They claim to be Christians. They say they have fellowship with God, but they walk in darkness. Their heart has never been truly renewed by the Spirit of God, and it shows in their life. And again, we may never see it ourselves. We may be completely convinced that that person is a true child of God, but they walk in darkness. John says such people are deceiving themselves. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And notice how John here uses the pronoun we here. He includes himself in this. He includes other believers in this. And in doing so, John acknowledges that even the believer sometimes can be led to think like this. Yes, even the believer at times can be led to think that he can have it both ways, that he can live in the world and he can live in sin and yet be a child of God. But John says no. John says if that's what you think, you're a liar. And you're not practicing the truth. Why? Because those who have been truly born again will live in holiness. Jesus says a good tree will necessarily produce good fruit. It may not all be good fruit. Maybe still a lot of rotten fruit among the good fruit, but generally speaking, he will produce good fruit. And anyone who claims that this is not the case, anyone who claims that it's possible to be a believer and yet walk in darkness, that person is a liar. That person does not practice the truth. Am I speaking to someone here this afternoon? You know your heart. I can't look into your heart. I don't have to look into your heart. God knows your heart. You also know your heart. At least somewhat. You know if you're lying. You know if you're playing the hypocrite. If you are, repent. Repent of your sin. Recognize that you're living the lie, and one day that lie will be found out. and you stand before the God, the judge of all the earth, and you will have to give an account of yourself before Him. This is the one group. There are people who say that they have fellowship and yet they walk in darkness. But John refers to another group here. And they are those who are not at all like the first group. They are those who walk in the light, as God is in the light. Now, who are these people? Well, they are obviously true believers. They're not hypocrites. These people really are who they say they are. They are those who have been savingly united to Christ, and they manifest that by walking in the light. Now, to walk in the light is the exact opposite of walking in darkness. To walk in darkness means to live in sin. To walk in the light means to live in holiness. So that those who walk in the light are those who strive to put sin to death and to live their life to the glory of God in accordance with all of His commandments. We sang of that from Psalm 15 just before the sermon. There we have a description of the person who walks in the light. Somebody who has been truly born again walks in the light. And that only stands to reason because John has just declared in verse 5 that God is light. Well, if that is true, if God is light, then those who are in Him must also walk in the light. Now, how does that happen? How does one begin to walk in the light? Because by nature, we don't walk in the light. By nature, we walk in darkness. By nature, we are born and conceived in sin. So how do we start walking in the light? That's a good question. It's a vitally important question. How do we walk in the light? Well, we don't do this in and of ourselves, that's for sure. No one simply wakes up one day and says, you know, I'm tired of walking in the darkness. Now I'm deciding I'm going to walk in the light. No, that's impossible. In order to walk in the light, something needs to take place. Something needs to happen. A miracle of God's grace needs to take place. A person who walks in the light must be born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Because by nature, as I said, we are born in trespasses and sins. We are in bondage to sin. We are in bondage to Satan. We hate God and our neighbor. We have no desire to walk in the ways of God. That's who we are by nature. And therefore a change has to take place. And it's the Holy Spirit who works that change in us. He is the one who breaks down our natural rebellion. He is the one who opens our eyes to see our sin and the danger that we are in. He is the one who convicts us of our sin and causes us to repent of our sin and look in faith to Christ as the only hope and ground of our salvation. And when we do that, then the Holy Spirit of God takes up His abode in our hearts. He sanctifies us. He makes us more and more holy. He sets us on the path of light. He gives us the grace to walk in the light as God Himself is in the light. It's the Spirit of God. It's the work of the Spirit. He walks in the light. He causes His children to walk in the light. And does that mean the child of God never sins? Of course not. The child of God will have to do battle against sin every day of his life. He will never, ever walk in the light perfectly, at least not in this life. And certainly not when he first comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he will at least make a beginning in this. And by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, he will strive to build on this beginning every day of his life. Think of a child who's just learning how to walk. You know how it goes, parents. First, the child begins to take a few halting steps. You may hold him by his hands, and he'll start to walk, and he'll put one foot in front of the other, and then eventually you let your hands go, and he'll start going like this, and he may fall down after one or two steps. He falls down, and he gets back up again.
and he learns how to walk. And so it is with a child of God. He learns to walk in the light. He will fall. Sometimes he will crawl. By the grace of God, he will learn to walk. He will walk in the light as God is in the light. And so John presents us here with two groups of people. And we need to ask ourselves the question this afternoon, which group do I belong? Am I walking in the light? Or am I one of those who say that I have fellowship with God and yet are walking in darkness? Oh, make no mistake, beloved, if we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, John says we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then there are great blessings. And that brings us to our third and final point. Yes, those who walk in the light are greatly blessed. John writes in verse 7, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. John here mentions two blessings that flow to the person who walks in the light. First, he says we have fellowship one with another. There we have that word again, that word fellowship. The word is first used in verse 3. There John says we have fellowship with God. We saw this morning that that word fellowship means koinonia. It means to have something in common. It means to be united together in a bond of mutual love and trust. Now here John says, we have fellowship one with another. This is the first blessing that stems from walking in the light. We have fellowship one with another. Now it's not clear what John means by this. Some say that he is speaking here of fellowship with God in Christ. But others say that he's referring to the fellowship that we have with other believers. But surely, congregation, surely both of these are true, aren't they? When we walk in the light as God is in the light, yes, indeed, we have fellowship with God, but we also have fellowship with other believers. And are not both of those great blessings? When we have fellowship with God in Christ, what do we have? Well, then we have, as we saw this morning, we have God the Father as our provider. We have God the Son as our Redeemer. And we have God the Holy Spirit as our sanctifier. Such a beautiful summary of what that means in the first part of the form for infant baptism. When we have God the Father as our provider, then we rest assured, it says, that God the Father will provide us with every good thing and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. When we have God the Son as our Redeemer, then we may rest assured that He does wash us in His blood from all of our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of His death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. And when we have the Holy Spirit as our sanctifier, we may rest assured that He will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Oh, what a blessing to have fellowship with God in Christ. But is it not also a great blessing to have fellowship with other believers? Well, there's nothing more sweet, aside from having fellowship with God, there's nothing more sweet in life than to have fellowship with other believers. When we have fellowship with other believers, we have people who care about us. We have people we can go to share our trials and our difficulties and our burdens. People we can go to for help, for comfort, for advice, for encouragement. People with whom we can converse about the things of the Lord. And we confess every Lord's Day afternoon, I believe in the communion of the saints. Is it not a wonderful thing to have that communion? Oh, I know. We don't always experience that. I know that because of sin, sometimes those bonds of communion are broken, sometimes for years. But when it is intact, when there is that communion, when there is that fellowship, oh, what a blessed thing that is. And then we long for the day. We shall all sit together at the marriage supper of the Lamb, communing with one another in perfection through Christ. It's a great blessing to have communion, to have fellowship with one another. And that is a blessing that stems from walking in the light. We have fellowship one with another. But John mentions yet another blessing here. He says, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now here we are reminded, as we saw earlier, that even those who walk in the light commit sin. We will still commit sin. If you're a believer in Christ this afternoon, you will never be free from sin. But the good news is, and John says that here in our text, that when we fall into sin, we do not have to despair. No, we have a place to go. There is forgiveness for our sin, and it is in Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Notice that John here uses the word cleanse. To cleanse means to remove every trace of. And that's what Jesus does. He removes every trace of sin. All sin. Original sin. Actual sin. Sins of omission. Sins of commission. Sins of thought and word and deed. Sins of the past. Sins of the present. Sins of the future. They're all cleansed by the blood of Christ, that not a trace of those sins is left. Ladies, you know that sometimes you can get a stain on your carpet or on your upholstery that's very difficult to get out. And you scrub and you scrub and you buy all kinds of fancy cleaners and nothing seems to work. The stain, you can still see it there, especially when the sun shines. It's there. Sometimes it's there for years. That is not the case when it comes to sin. When God forgives sin, He forgives it completely. Not only our original sin, but also our indwelling sin. When we confess it before Him, when we again embrace the Lord Jesus Christ as our only hope and ground of our salvation, the Lord, in His mercy, cleanses us again and again and again from sin. So not a trace is left. And He does it with blood. With blood. Now, you know that when you get blood on your carpet, sometimes that's difficult to remove. In fact, many times it's impossible. You don't clean a stain with blood, but God does. God takes the precious blood of His Son and He looks at your sin and He washes them away in His blood. It's all in the blood of Christ, the cleansing blood of the Lamb of God. And John uses the present tense here. And that means that God doesn't just do this once, but again and again, as long as we sin and as long as we keep going to the Lord with our sins, God will cleanse by the blood of Christ. And is that not a wonderful blessing? For when God cleanses us of our sins, then the bonds of fellowship are restored. And the obstacle that stood between me and God, it's gone. The gates of heaven are opened again. And I feel God smile upon me. I feel the peace that passes all understanding. It's here. It's mine. I know it. I experience it. I feel it. Because the Lord has taken care of my sin. He's cleansed me of my sin. And this too is a great blessing that stems from walking in the light. Oh, have I succeeded this afternoon in making walking in the light attractive to you? That's my intention. That's my purpose. Not just to give you some information from the text, but to make this attractive to you. So that when you look at this, you say, yes, nothing in the world compares to that. I want no other blessings than those which John speaks of here in our text. Fellowship with God, fellowship with one another, and the precious blood of Christ to cleanse all of my sins. Is it attractive to you?
Sometimes people complain that they feel disconnected from God. I hear that all the time. And they read their Bible and they pray, and yet they think, God doesn't hear. God doesn't answer. He's distant. He's aloof. And as a result, I have so little joy. I'm just plodding along in the Christian life. My friend, you know what the problem may be? The problem may be that which John puts his finger on in our text. The problem may be you're not walking in the light. You see, when we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God. And therefore, we need to examine ourselves this afternoon. Is there a sin in my life? You know. I don't know. Is there a sin in your life that you need to confess? Is there a sin in your life, a pattern of thought, a pattern of behavior, whatever the case may be, that is not in accordance with the will and the law of God? Then if that is the case, then you need to repent of it. And you need to repent of it now. I need to ask the Lord again, Lord, heal me. Lord, restore me. Lord, give me the grace that I need to walk in the light as you are in the light. And when that happens, and you find yourself walking in that light, God will restore to you those bonds of fellowship and communion that you miss. And the life of the Christian, living the life of the Christian, will become so much more enjoyable. And we will love it more than anything else in the world. But if you persist in your sin, if you continue to walk in darkness, you will not. God will hide His face from you in this life and also in the next. And you will miss out on the joy and the happiness that belongs to those who are truly in Christ. Well, which one of these do you prefer, beloved? May God grant that we may walk in the light as He is in the light. Then we shall be the children of light and dwell in the light to all eternity. Amen.